This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We keep it rolling here on a Tuesday evening. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and yours. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. A little ginger power here on this Tuesday night, getting you ready for a bunch of bowl games, week 17 of the NFL. And Will, you know, it's that perfect time to get some insight, not just from the two of us, but how these games are being bet around the holiday season. So let's do that for our audience right now.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Every Saturday, he joins me on the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show. Unfortunately, we don't really have any more Saturdays of college football, right? Moving forward, the quarterfinals will be New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. The semifinals will be a Thursday and Friday, championship on a Monday. So let's get our good friend Chuck Esposito on right now, Races Sportsbook Director for the Red Rock Casino, part of the Stations Casino Group. And he joined me every Saturday, as I mentioned, Will. And I always asked him to remove the UNLV game from the most publicly bet game because every single time the public loved UNLV. So we got a UNLV bowl game kicking off in an hour. And I got to imagine, are we north of 90% of handle or tickets on UNLV?
First, it's great to be on with you guys, and happy holidays to you guys and your families and all the listeners and everybody at VSiN. Not quite that high. It's actually 88% in favor of UNLV. Of course, we know the unfortunate situation surrounding the coaching at Ohio, and game opened up 4.5. It's at its highest point now, guys, at seven points in favor of UNLV. So we did take a good-sized bet on Ohio, but it didn't even cause us to come down on the game. So we're clearly Ohio fans tonight when this game kicks off in about an hour or so.
Chuck, something Tim and I were just talking about, I think we're all of the age where we remember when these bowl games were, if not all special, they were watchable, the guys would play. Has the opt-outs, the transfer portal, this new era of college football, has it hurt the ticket handle, or is it as simple as these are standalone games, they're on TV, people can watch them, people can bet them, so they do?
It definitely has hurt, guys. I think when you look at some of the better matchups, maybe when you look at the Georgia Tech BYU game, the of course the playoff games, the Tennessee Illinois game is getting some action. There's some other games that are getting a little bit of play, but really not what it once was with the transfer portal, guys going to the next level. It really comes down to the playoff games that are getting the biggest handle and most action. These games, in a lot of cases, just really hard to handicap from our side as well, and a lot more faster line moves for us than we ever used to have. But it's just kind of a changing dynamic now when it comes to the end of the college football season.
Chuck Esposito joining us here. I'm going to put this together just to have a little fun right now, just to see what the price is, because we were joking earlier on the show that everybody, when Santa slides down the chimney on Thursday morning, will throw a three-leg money line parlay into their stockings. And right now it's minus 121 at your shop, Denver to Dallas to Detroit. I guess I should go Dallas to Detroit to Denver. How much will you be sitting back on Christmas night, Chuck, drinking a glass of eggnog and needing the underdogs to win one of those games? Because you've got, what, Josh Johnson, Max Brosmer, and Chris Oladokun for the home teams on Christmas.
I was hoping you weren't going to remind me, because I'm going to try to enjoy my Christmas dinner that night. But I'm afraid
make that
I might
eggnog
be puking
stiff,
it up later,
Chuck,
in the night. It's definitely rough. You know, it's all going to be going to the Bengals then, and to the Seahawks then, to the Jags, to the Patriots. So there's and it's all going to finish up going to the Rams on Monday night after the holiday weekend. So we're going to have to hope and pray and keep our fingers crossed and light some candles that we can get a little puppy love this week starting on Thursday.
How do you put a number on the Chiefs quarterback? Obviously, when you go from Mahomes to Minshew, you know, we've seen Minshew. He's got a body of work. You can kind of put an estimate on that. But with somebody we haven't seen before in the whole state of the Chiefs, do you get the sense they play up? What goes in your process in making this number here with Chiefs Broncos?
It's really hard. Usually a starting quarterback is worth about 7 points. And I think, you know, when you have a backup like Minshew, it'd be easier to handicap. It's really hard, guys. It's up there at almost 2 touchdowns right now. We sit at 13.5. It wouldn't surprise me to see it go higher. I know the Chiefs can play some defense, but they didn't look good at all last week. The Broncos didn't look great either on either side of the ball last week. So looking for them to probably bounce back a little bit, but extremely hard to handicap. And again, it's going to come back to is it's more some of these games like preseason in the NFL where we're moving them a lot faster. Maybe those key numbers were going to come off a lot faster. We've already seen that with Detroit where we've gone the other side of 7. Looks like the Cowboys could go there as well. Just kind of an unfamiliar territory at week 17. We know that the league, with 18 weeks now, was hoping that divisional games week 18 would change some of that stuff. But we're in week 17 right now, and we only have a handful of games that mean something to both teams. So really difficult from our side of the counter. I'm guessing the guests to some degree as well. But no question will be Commander, Viking, and Chief fans on Thursday.
Chuck Esposito joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. For those who don't know, Chuck, a big Chicago sports fan, big Bears guy. Remove the bookmaker hat and put on the fan hat. How was Saturday night for you as the Bears had an improbable comeback to beat the hated Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, sitting on the couch. I was at home for the second half of the game and really just thinking, I don't think they're going to come back. The Packers, even with Willis, was playing well. The Bears just didn't seem to do anything. I felt the key was the fact that in those conditions, guys, Santos kept making those field goals. I had a little bit of a heartbeat that maybe, just maybe, if they can get close enough, they can make something happen, and they did. So from the fan side of it, I was elated. I was extremely happy. They struggled with the Packers. We've talked about it. To get that win and to maintain first in the NFC North is fun. There's a real chance they might meet the Packers again in the postseason, but they have a tough schedule to finish. They play at San Francisco, and the Niners have been red hot of late. And they finish hosting Detroit, which could possibly mean a game where if Detroit wins, they're in. If they lose, they're out. So Bears have a tough couple of games left, but really happy the way they won on Saturday night.
How about Packers-Ravens this week? Another game that's on a Saturday, standalone game. How do you price this in terms of who's playing quarterback? Do you think it's Lamar? Do you think it's Love? Or is this sort of a halfway line trying to guess who's going to play quarterback for each team?
It's definitely a halfway line and trying to, you know, to put your psychic hat on a bit. You read that Willis and Love practiced on a limited basis. I haven't really heard much about Lamar. I mean, we're trying to evaluate and watch all and look at all the social stuff that we can look at as well. If it is Love or Willis and it's not Lamar, this game is going to go up. There's no question about it. We sit at 2.5 juiced right now. It's kind of a big game for both teams, though. It's really tough. We're in an information era, guys, and we're trying to monitor that stuff just like the betting public is. And it might not be a game till gets pushed one way or the other until later in the week because of the uncertainty at quarterback for both teams. But huge game for both teams. But we've started to see a little bit of a push on the Packers, and I think that's probably because Willis and Love did practice on a limited basis today.
Chuck, when you look at this week 17 slate, you alluded to it. There are a handful of games where you're questioning, all right, what's the motivation? How locked in are these teams? Have you seen the sharp guys come in on any games in particular so far early in the week?
Yeah, the one that really surprises me a bit, guys, is that Steeler-Brown game. I know that the Steelers are going to have to win if week 18 against the Ravens if the Ravens win this week. But the fact is numbers come down so much. I know the Metcalf suspension. But you look at the Browns, and 2 weeks ago, they looked horrible against the Bears. And I know they were able to get the cover against the Bills this past week, but they have no Judkins in this game. They're a little bit banged up as well. Just really kind of surprised that there's been so much play on the Browns in this game that has caused this number to drop to 3.5 industry-wide.
Last minute or two here, Chuck. I'm going to ask you an impossible question. Who comes out of the AFC?
It is an impossible question, but I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, that was my answer. So I guess great minds think alike. But real quickly, so with 3 games of the NFL, how is the NBA handle on Christmas Day tend to be for you guys?
You know, it's still good, guys. I think, you know, with the mobile app and isolated games, it just kind of adds to the whole aura of the day, that people are busy and stuff going on, but hey, they just log into their STN Sports app and they've got all the props and all the in-play or the live action going on and all the games. So it really is a game changer having the app and having that in the palm of all of our guests' hands on a busy holiday. So it'll still be really good. And I think this year, maybe more so, because these aren't marquee NFL games, with the uncertainty of quarterbacks and with most of these teams being eliminated already on Thursday.
The biggest Ohio Bobcat fan in all of Las Vegas, Chuck Esposito. Chuck, always appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you, and really appreciate all the times you jumped on VSiN all throughout the football season.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tim. I appreciate it. Same to you guys. And look forward to chatting with you guys again soon.
There he is, Chuck Esposito. Thanks, Racing Chuck. Sportsbook Director from the Station's Casino. And 88% of tickets on UNLV. I wasn't lying. I told you, Will. The public, the locals here in Vegas, when they see someone that keeps on adding to their pocketbooks, they're gonna back them. So they like UNLV tonight. That game kicking off in less than an hour. You have a third quarter under 13.5. We've got a deep throw down, and that is not ideal for your bet nor mine. As we have a Western Kentucky, they looked dead in the first half, and I don't know what the hell happened at halftime.
Yeah, and we got a break with them. Last time they were about to score, they fumbled. So maybe we get some shenanigans here and we get the ball back.
Unbelievable. So what I told you, I get in trouble when I do these shows and I make bets that I didn't want to make. Southern Miss, wake up. Come on.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We keep it rolling here as we get a touchdown on the board in the New Orleans Bowl. Western Kentucky tying things up. They made a change at quarterback. I don't know if it was based off of production, injury, Rodney Tisdale out, and Maverick McIver, the transfer from Abilene Christian, who actually had a strong start to the season. I believe he got hurt midseason. He's back in there. It's been the spark that Western Kentucky's needed here, Will. So right now, Western Kentucky and Southern Miss tied at 13, and you have third quarter under 13.5. Is that correct?
It is. And if you had Bet Rivers, there was a 14 available, and that half a point is obviously very key when you're talking about a key number and only a 15-minute sample. So hopefully if you tailed, you were able to access that. But I'm still in okay shape. It's obviously going to be an uncomfortable 6 or so minutes there. Would have loved to get off the field with just a field goal. 3rd and 9, kind of a broken play, and the quarterback takes it himself and scrambles in. But you know what? Got a break earlier with them hitting the big pass play, nearly going for a touchdown, and then the touchback after the fumble. So Southern Miss has been pretty much dominated, outplayed in this third quarter. Because remember, they started with the ball, and if it weren't for that fumble, we're talking about a 14-0 Western Kentucky third quarter here. So these bowl games can be very tricky. Sometimes it looks like one team has no interest and the other team is, you know, it's their Super Bowl, and these games can flip and the momentum can change on a dime. And that seems to be what happened in this one.
You know, this is, by the way, I'm not telling people to do this right now. This is actually pretty dumb on my part. I just took some Western Kentucky money line. They look like the more inspired team right now, and I'm getting off of my halftime position. So if this bird lands with Southern Miss winning by 1 to 9 points, I lose both bets. So this is not a necessarily a smart move by me, but I'm just watching this game right now. The quarterback change has seemingly changed everything for Western Kentucky. So I took a little plus 135 at our friend Boomer's Sportsbook here in Vegas. So there you go. I am in on Western Kentucky. How about this? 84 yards in the first half, 138 on two possessions in the second half. Wow. Here for Western Kentucky. It has been a tale of two halves, if you will, there with the Hilltoppers and the Golden Eagles of Southern Miss.
Plenty of seats available, plenty of good seats available. If you look in the stands there, man, there are just like whole sections of seats that are available, which, I mean, a couple days before Christmas, it's not exactly, you know, Alabama versus Ohio State or something. So I get it, but man, you just wonder the future of these bowls. I keep coming back to it. You wonder, you know, 5 years from now, what this sport looks like in terms of these bowls and the NIL and portal and what these conferences' allegiance look like, because this sport is just changing so fast. And I don't really think for the better. So hate to see it. And again, as long as we can watch the games and bet on the games, it's all we really care about. But from a fan standpoint, the sport is so different than it was 5, 10 plus years ago.
Well, they do remind me a lot of the preseason tournaments that you see, you know, all across our television with a lot of empty seats, you know, Maui obviously being a little bit unique. But I mean, even the Players Era tournament here in Vegas, those were not really great environments. Maybe over time it will be, but these are made for TV events, right? It's all about holiday programming. They still get decent ratings. People still bet them, like you mentioned. But yeah, it's challenging for us, no doubt, when you look at, you know, from a betting standpoint. But watching this Western Kentucky team, man, I'll tell you what, I don't know what the heck they were in the first half because they were horrific. But here in the second half, they look like a completely different team. So we'll see how this game plays out. Should be an entertaining one, needless to say. Western Kentucky and Southern Miss here. Big third down coming for Southern Miss. Right now, your live number, Southern Miss, a minus $1.30 favorite. And we will see what happens here on this third down. And they are not going to get it. So it looks like they will have to punt this ball away. Western Kentucky might flip to a favorite here if Southern Miss decides to punt this ball away on fourth and one here, Will. No, they're going to keep the offense out.
Did you go for it?
They're going to keep the offense out there. They're going to try to draw them off sides. No, they're going for it, and they did not get it. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, wait.
What a terrible. That's
Man,
not good for my bet. Jeez.
That is not good for your bet. And just like that, Western Kentucky has flipped to the favorite. We had a 13-6 game. Southern Miss was receiving the ball to start the second half, Will. And they were a 9.5-point in-game favorite. They are now a underdog after going for it. Look, I'll say this, though. It's an exhibition. I applaud them going for it at their own 33-yard line. Like, you know, that more coaches need to do this. You know, I saw yesterday, once again, the bowl game I was at, Bronco Mendenhall, like, punted on fourth and one at midfield. I'm like, what are we doing? Go for it. You're down 20. Like, go start going for it. So Blake Anderson, the new head coach of Southern Miss, as he took over for Charles Huff, gets maybe a little too aggressive, and they turn the ball over on downs, giving the ball back to Southern Miss at the 35-yard line.
I have no problem going for it. I just don't like the play call. I mean, it was just a really basic handoff up the middle, which on fourth and one, that's what the defense is expecting. That's one where you do a little fake, maybe you pass it, you get a little creative, because that handoff up the middle, I'm fine going for it. But first off, you could try to draw them off sides, which they didn't try to do, but be a little more creative than what they were.
By the way, you mentioned it. I wanted to circle back. So earlier today, we saw Louisville 133. Oh, there you go, Will. An interception. This game is on drugs right now. And do we get a pick six? Oh, he has not been hit out. This is they did blow the whistle. I think he was out. But a horrible interception. We do have a flag down. So we will see what happens here. Man, this game is all over the place. We just had a team fail going for it on third and fourth and one in their own possession, in their own territory. And the backup quarterback, I guess, then starter, Maverick McIver, throws a horrific pick. And it's a block in the back. So you've got new life here, Will Hill.
Hope is the worst thing, as we've talked about many times on this show. And how about this? It's a tie game, and Western Kentucky's minus three in turnovers. They turned it over three times, Southern Miss zero, and it's still a tie game. So just based on the stats, Western Kentucky has been the better team in this game.
Yeah, Southern Miss minus $1.66. So just like that, flip of favorites back as you get an interception, but an illegal block in the back. I think the block in the back did come on the quarterback as the defensive back for Southern Miss tried to tiptoe down the sideline there for a pick six. So interception, and just like that, we got a flip back to the favorites. Snip, snap, snip, snap, like The Office there. But I wanted to go back to this. You had mentioned it. The quote from Jeff Brohm after tonight's Boca Raton Bowl, or this afternoon's Boca Raton Bowl, quote, "I don't speak on other jobs. I'm happy with this one, and we're going to enjoy the victory." I believe our friend Parker Fleming, he has a bit that says, not a denial. Would you say this is not a denial from Jeff Brohm?
That's definitely not a denial. That definitely doesn't close the door on him taking the job at Michigan. It doesn't. I mean, he says, I'm happy with the job. So if you're a Louisville fan and you want to keep him, that's a little bit encouraging. But it would be very easy for him saying, it's nonsense, I'm staying here. Which, you know what, even if he is going to stay, he probably wants more money from Louisville, wants an extension, more money, all of that, more NIL. But I know Louisville, it's a hometown job, and it's, you know, he grew up there and all that stuff. It's still Michigan, and you're at Louisville. I actually, you know, I know Michigan fans wouldn't be thrilled with that hire. I actually think when you're running out of options, Brohm, you could do a lot worse. I think he'd do okay at Michigan. So I wouldn't be shocked if that at the end of the day here, and it's got to be soon because what the portal ups, I think a portal opens up January 2nd.
Yep.
You got to make up your mind soon. You got to find a coach soon. Wouldn't be shocked if that's ultimately the fit, Brohm at Michigan, and that is definitely not a full denial.
Yeah, so he certainly had some success, no doubt, when you think back to his time at Purdue. Left Purdue to go back to his alma mater, where he is a legend down there at Louisville. They've had more success than failure, I would say, certainly at Louisville. Sure. This year. So we will see. Didn't get the cover, though, today, much to my chagrin. Didn't cover any of the numbers. By the way, some shenanigans kind of going on. We've seen a fourth down failure, an interception, and now I believe unsportsmanlike conduct on Western Kentucky. So I think the Western Kentucky folks heard that I had put a money line bet on him, so they've decided to crap the bed promptly since then. So 4.5 minutes to go, and hopefully, Will, we can continue to sweat this out. This is also not good for your bet to give Southern Miss an extra 15 yards here as they get into Western Kentucky territory.
Oh, I'm sure that won't come back to haunt me, will it?
No, not at all. Ball now at the 40-yard line, and they are just chucking deep here. We got refs falling down. I mean, this is what you want to see bowl season. It's all over the place here in this game. We've got another flag down on the field. Will, you had talked to Chuck Esposito, when he joined us last segment. We're going to talk about this on the other side. The Baltimore-Green Bay game, an opportunity for Green Bay to lock up a spot in the playoffs, and what is going on with the health situation at quarterback there for both Baltimore and Green Bay. But just a reminder, folks, the holidays may slow everybody down, but not here at VSiN. While you're celebrating, traveling, and taking that rare day off, we'll be live all Christmas Day with wall-to-wall betting coverage. Your morning starts with VSiN by the books, followed by a numbers game and a special edition of Live Bet Christmas. In the afternoon, we'll keep the insights coming with Follow the Money, VSiN Primetime, and Cashing Out. From bowl season to NFL action and the Christmas slate of NBA, VSiN is your home for holiday betting coverage.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on a pretty busy Tuesday night. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. We just had a field goal in the New Orleans Bowl, which was music to the ears of Will Hill, as he has under 13.5 in the third quarter. And right now, Southern Miss, a 3-point lead. For a moment there, you've had moments of worry when it came to this bet, but right now, I don't want to say anything because we got 90 seconds to go, but you're in decent shape of where you sit. I don't feel great about either one of my bets right now because I may have gotten a little emotional when Maverick McIver came into the game and I was frustrated. So right now I sit with a pretty dumb position of Western Kentucky money line plus 135 and Southern Miss -9.5, well, 2.5 in the second half. So we will see how this thing ultimately plays out. Before we get to a little NFL, we did just see this news cross via Matt Zenitz over at CBS. Alabama star defensive lineman LT Overton, who has missed Alabama's last two games with an undisclosed health issue, has been cleared to return and is set to play against Indiana in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. You know, a lot of the questions regarding this Alabama team heading into the playoff were health related, right? When you looked at Jam Miller, their running back, LT Overton, questions about Ty Simpson, how healthy he was. As we look ahead to New Year's Day, right now, Indiana, about a 6.5-point favorite. There has been moments where it hit 7, but ultimately came back off of that. What do you make of this Rose Bowl matchup here with Indiana right now, laying 7 at DraftKings, 6.5 juiced various at other spots?
You know, if you look at the team's performance, and we had Wes Reynolds on last night, and he made this point. He said, well, if you look at the team's performance, the number's justified. But how often do you get Alabama in this role of an underdog? How often do you get Indiana in this role of a favorite? So both these teams have kind of flipped roles. If you want to look at it kind of from a psychological standpoint, very unusual. Alabama can come in this game house money. Nobody expects them to win. A lot of pressure on Indiana. You know, they flamed out in the playoffs last year. They went undefeated. I know our buddy, the Bear, Chris Felica, has made this point too, where boy, Indiana, there's a couple, there's some similarities between them and Oregon last year where they have the perfect season and then they turn around and you're in kind of a tough matchup right away. Obviously, Ohio State is not Bama. Ohio State was much better. But if anything, I'd probably take the points. I think Indiana probably wins the game, but I can't lay this number with Indiana. Where do you sit with it?
I just, by the way, I could not keep my eyes off of this, your bet here in the third quarter, because Western Kentucky got the playoff with 1 second to go. They were running some tempo, and I'm like, oh, God, don't let it score a touchdown. And then the receiver caught it. He fumbled for a moment, and I'm like, oh, Lord, don't let it be a scoop and score. It was incomplete. Your hay's in the barn. Will Hill, at least one ginger, is going to be happy here on the program, as that's a winner for you. Third quarter under for you, Southern Miss and Western Kentucky, never in doubt. You know, as for the Rose Bowl, I have not bet the game yet. It's 7 right now at DraftKings. I would be tempted to look at Alabama here. I am recording an episode of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast with our buddy, our resident Hoosier, Wes Reynolds, later tonight. And I'm sure he's going to make the case for Indiana, and I understand why. But yeah, it is a fascinating role reversal when you think about it's a neutral site game. I'm sure there's going to be ample Indiana fans there because they haven't been to the Rose Bowl since 1967, but you know Alabama is going to travel well. It is such an intriguing dynamic. And as the game went on against Oklahoma, when you think about the start of that game, I had Alabama pre-flop, and I thought, all right, this is toast. Like, this team shouldn't have been in the playoff, you know. And then, you know, I made the joke, but it was that fourth down conversion, that gutsy fourth down, like the one they had against Auburn. Remember, the committee loved that fourth down conversion against Auburn, but they got that fourth down conversion. Then they get the pick six late at the end of the first half, and it flipped everything for Alabama. And now if you're telling me I could get Alabama as a full touchdown underdog on a neutral, this is a new world for Indiana in this spot here in the Rose Bowl. So if I get a touchdown, I think I might have to look at Alabama here in this spot.
Do you give Alabama a shot to win the game?
Yeah. I mean, pound for pound.
Yeah, bad loss for Indiana if they weren't. I think Indiana ultimately wins, though. That would be a bad loss. And there is this the psychological thing where you're flipping the roles there, where Bama, even if they lost this game, I know they have high expectations and a lot of Bama fans wouldn't be happy, but you got in the tournament, you got in the playoff, you won a game on the road. It's at least not a disaster year for Bama, so maybe they can take a deep breath and come into this game a little fast and loose.
So of the four underdogs right now, you've got Miami 9.5, you've got Texas Tech 1.5, Bama 6.5, 7, Ole Miss 6.5. Which dog intrigues you the most right now, about a week out from the quarterfinals?
Miami. I think that NFL talent is real. I made this point before the A&M game. Before the whole Miami-Notre Dame debate, the whole debate the first month, 6 weeks of the season, when who was the best team in the country, Miami or Ohio State? And it was a legitimate debate. Miami is loaded with front four talent. Beck's obviously got to play better, but that's a tough environment on the road at A&M. And now this is a neutral field, which I actually don't like. I wish these quarterfinals were on campus. It adds a little juice. It adds a little atmosphere, but it's a neutral field. And look, Ohio State, they played two real opponents this year. When you look at Texas and Indiana, they did nothing offensive. I think they scored, 24 combined points in those games. They did absolutely nothing. Miami is a real defense. If you can get a B+, A- game from Beck, look out. I think this is a very tricky game here for Ohio State.
Look, you look at Miami and the defense that they have, the talent that is on that roster, Reuben Bain, and what you see there from Ohio State. Oh, boy, is this going to be a scoop and score here for Southern Miss? No, incomplete. Man, I tell you what, I know I'm all over the place, but that's what we do on primetime is, watching these games. Western Kentucky, it almost felt like it was a shock to the system with Maverick McIver coming in. And since then, Southern Miss has kind of ratcheted things up a little bit here, and they look completely different. So we will see if my initial pregame or position was the right side and they're able to bring this thing home from a second half standpoint, because right now the defense is flying around. By the way, you could always tweet us at one Tim Murray, at not the Will Hill. Andy Miranda says, good call, Will, on the third quarter under. These teams are mediocre at best. So many boneheaded plays and penalties. Well, yeah, I mean, it is the bowl season. It's not necessarily a time for the best to thrive here, at least early on in the bowl season. But we will get a punt here for Western Kentucky, and we'll see if Southern Miss can get something rolling here as they lead 16-13 early on in the fourth quarter. But I think of the four dogs that I think, if I had to order them from most likely to least likely to win, I think Ole Miss has a likely chance to win. I know Joshua Nunn, who joined us earlier, made the case for Ole Miss. And you think back to the game that they played in October, Georgia had that 17-0 fourth quarter. I think Georgia, what we saw from them at the end of the season, the second half performance against Texas, I know they played poor against Georgia Tech. I wasn't that surprised by that. And then they were dominant in the SEC championship. I am so curious, Will, regarding Ole Miss and Georgia, how Pete Golding and that staff turned things around after that emotional game, all the talk about Lane Kiffin leaving. Now it's, all right, that's behind you. Now it's focus on the task at hand, going to the Superdome and playing Georgia. Oh, by the way, just a reminder, Georgia last year inside the Superdome lost to Notre Dame. You think Kirby Smart's going to remember that? I would imagine he will. So I think this Georgia team is going to be raring to go. And look, I got bit for laying points. You know me, I don't like to lay points all that often. I laid 6.5 with Georgia. As of right now, the only bet I have in the quarterfinals is Georgia laying 6.5.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to tease college football, but that's the number right there, 6.5 down to half a point. I'd be very surprised if Georgia lost the game. I think this could finally be the point where Ole Miss does miss Kiffin, miss his play calling. And yeah, I was thinking the same thing with Georgia losing in that building in that round. And they were scheduled for the same time slot, I believe. Remember, that game got moved to the following day because of the tragedy. Mm-hmm. And they ended up playing on that weird Thursday afternoon game where they had to move it. So this will be on New Year's Day, the same time they were supposed to play Notre Dame January 1st last year at night.
Yeah, no, that was the game. Yeah, it got moved to January 2nd based off of what unfolded the terrorist attack down on Bourbon Street a year ago. We have a booth review. A targeting penalty is being reviewed right now in the New Orleans Bowl. Southern Miss, a 16-13 lead in that one. We'll turn our attention back to the NFL on the other side. Take a look at some of those Saturday games, the latest on the quarterback situations there. Got a lot going on here. Busy night on the ice, busy night in the NBA. We'll dive into some of the live betting opportunities as well in those. It is VSiN Primetime.
Thank you. This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keep it rolling here on this Tuesday evening. It is VSiN Primetime. My ginger brother, Will Hill, over there in lovely Connecticut. What I can only imagine the excitement in that state for the Fenway Bowl. Back-to-back visits for the Huskies in the Fenway Bowl. Has it just been nonstop wall-to-wall coverage on the local news?
Yeah, Applebee's might even stay open till 10:30 instead of 10 because the streets are just in party mode here.
Well, we do have a bowl game going on right now. Will Hill, already hay in the barn for him. Winner, no big deal. Just giving out winners here. At least one ginger is going to be happy. 16-13 is the score. I did get off of my position on Southern Miss minus 2.5 second half by taking Western Kentucky money line for the game. They are nearing midfield. Right now, live number in that game, Western Kentucky still plus 130 on the money line, 2.5 in game. We have another bowl game coming up, Will. And during the football season, you and I and so many of us here at VSiN, we love the late night games. So we created a segment on the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show that I think people liked and enjoyed. I'm not ready to put the open to bed. So we have a game starting at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. So let's go to the tailgate and give us a little special something here on a Tuesday night.
It's getting late, and Tim Murray wants to know, you up?
Oh, yeah. We got a tweet, Will, asking me about going to for the U Up segment. Richard Burkhart wanted to know, what's your take on tonight's UNLV game for an early U Up? So if we get the opportunity, we're going to use that open, the sultry sounds of Ryan Hunter. You know, now's the time of year, right? You know, you got the Christmas tree up, you got the stockings all hanging on the mantle there, and you got the Frisco Bowl, the iconic Frisco Bowl, late night on television. We talked about it briefly, but this game is starting here in about 15 minutes or so. I did lay chalk early with UNLV. I laid 4 early on in the bowl season. It's now 6.5 still at most spots. I think I would still say lay the 6.5 here, Will. It's a high total, so it might be a situation where you could get in-game, maybe get a bit of a better number. You talked about the total being as high as it is at 65, but you did get the positive news for a UNLV program that, you know, this is a team that I think will be pumped up for this game. Dan Mullen's not going anywhere. Your quarterback, Anthony Calandria, who played really good football, I thought, down the stretch, struggled a bit in the Mountain West Championship against Boise State. But still, I think this is a team that will be pretty motivated, you know, not playing a big-time opponent. But then you have the unique situation on the other side where the head coach was fired with cause for off-the-field situation. So for me, I laid it with UNLV. And probably would still lay it under a touchdown here against the Bobcats of Ohio.
Yeah, and just so people know, that little, you know, the very provocative of you texting you up, that is to Mrs. Murray. We don't have a Sharon Moore situation going on here. That's just a text to Mrs. Murray asking if she's up. I'm looking at the team
totals.
You up
to watch football. I'm thinking, get your mind out of the gutter, Will. Come on now.
That's right. 35.5 a team total for UNLV, 28.5 a team total for Ohio. Does either of those do anything for you? And I'll go first half too. Ohio first half, and this is at DraftKings, over 13.5 team total, but you got to lay minus 160, under plus 124. UNLV, the first half team total, 17.5. The over is even money. There's some juice on the under. Do any of those sound appealing to you?
I think I would look. I'm curious to know Ohio, how buttoned up they will be, right? With everything that's gone on these past couple of weeks. And I'll say this about UNLV. I thought defensively, as poor as they were the majority of the year, the last couple of weeks, I thought they play a little bit better defensively. So I would look at maybe if I had to play one of those, maybe Ohio team total under in the first half. I know you're it, it's it's at 13.5, you always get worried, right? Like the 13.5 that you just played for the third quarter. Two touchdowns, you're in trouble here. But I think I would look at Ohio on the team total under. By the way, this is indoors, no weather, nothing to worry about. It's inside at the Star facility down there in Arlington, Texas.
Boy, that's a hell of a high total, though. I mean, with the way this bowl season is gone, I mean, you basically got to get to 70 points or damn near 70 points to go over. I know you get one of these games where there's no defense and these teams are good for it and you get a 38-35 type of game, but just based on what we've seen on bowl season, I don't know. Not that I want to, you know, I'm cutting in line to bet the under 65. It's just, it's hard to go over 65, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you look at the game right now. We're watching Western Kentucky Southern Miss. Total was 59 in this game. It got bet up from 55.5, and it's been a dead under game. So certainly when you look at it from that standpoint, you have to – I would look more towards the under than over here. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at circa 65, a couple other 65s out there. Caesars, it looks like 65.5. So based off of the trend in these bowl games now – you saw Toledo and Louisville, late touchdown, over. Washington State and Utah State yesterday in Boise, late touchdown, over. Both those games were trending very under and late touchdown. So you're always worried. Let me ask you this, just from a – I know everything's a case-by-case basis. Do you tend to look at going first half under more so than full game under as you look at betting games, or does it not really matter for you one way or the other?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the number. Like you said, it's case by case, but I do like the first half under. You get away from, you know, overtime. You get away from one team where they chase points and all hell breaks loose in the second half. So I don't mind that first half under look. I think that's a good way to play, not just in college football, but college basketball as well. And as we say that, Western Kentucky breaks loose here. Boy, this quarterback is really making some plays with his legs. He didn't quite get in the end zone, but he set up first and goal from the one. Southern Miss up 16-13, clinging to a three-point lead, 9:08 left. But Western Kentucky on the doorstep, Tim, of getting some points here and adding on and taking a 20-16 lead here, which they are just about. I mean, you can't be any closer to the end zone. They're going to be on like the one-inch line here when play resumes.
Western Kentucky now a minus $1.88 favorite against Southern Miss. Plus 145 if you think the Golden Eagles will turn around and get the victory here in this one. Just a reminder, the first half completely dominated by Southern Miss as they led 13-6. They had outgained Western Kentucky by almost 200 yards in the first half. Quarterback change has completely sparked Western Kentucky, and you pointed it out. Western Kentucky is on the doorstep of taking the lead here, and they're minus -3 in the turnover margin. You know, during the third quarter, Southern Miss went for it on 4th-and-1 at their own 35-yard line, and then a couple plays later, Maverick McIver throws a terrible interception that really kind of flipped the game, at least for the time being. But here's Western Kentucky again at the doorstep, minus $1.95 on the money line, Will.
Yeah, and it feels like Western Kentucky's probably going to win the game. I don't know that I'd lay the over $2 here or so, but it does feel like they've been the better team the second half. And if you can get in here, now you need a touchdown to beat you. So we'll see here. As much as we can, you know, say these bowls are not what they used to be, and they're not. Hey, we can watch them, we can bet them, and you get exciting finishes, especially when you put some money on them. It makes it a little more watchable.
All right. So would you do anything right now with UNLV and Ohio? Would you look first half under? Should we have a simpatico play? I do have a bet. I did lay a little four with UNLV. I think it's not a terrible, if you're looking for a money line piece out there, throw UNLV with somebody. But, you know, more often than not, UNLV will probably, I don't want to say they'll probably cover. And, if they win, they're probably going to cover. But I still would lay anything under a touchdown. But anything that you're looking at, should we go first half under together?
Under 33.5, is that playable?
Looks like that's what the market is. What do we think? I mean, a UNLV up 31-0 at halftime would be nice. I think that's going to be a false start here. Western Kentucky, is that going to be offsides or a false start? I can't decide what it's going to be. This game is so clunky, man.
yeah, I mean, they usually wouldn't blow it dead unless it was a false start. So
unless it was an encroachment.
If it was an offsides, usually they just let the play go through. So we'll get the announcement here.
No, it wasn't encroachment. It was offsides.
Okay. And they whistled it dead. By the way, this ref is this ref used to look like he could be a defensive lineman. He's a he's got some pipes on him.
Do you lift with that guy?
I do actually see him at the gym. I don't know. Should we do you know what? Let's do it. Under 33.5. Let's all just right. I'll make it a small play. We'll do it. Little team right. play here and have some action.
Team Ginger. But the ball is literally on the goal line right now. Can the center just keep it? Touchdown, Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers into the end zone. All right. The Ginger play together. Team unity, first half under. We should be able to watch this one home, too. So that's a good thing. We'll know. We'll win or lose together on the air. Hey, reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do that. Do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening. Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN. Find out more, VSiN.com/advertise.